Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by MyBookie and Draft. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Fantasy Beat, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. On today's show, I'm delighted to say my guest is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, so this one's going to have a little added interest for me. We'll be talking about the Green Bay Packers' trip to face the Dallas Cowboys in Week 5 and looking at the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide the game. Obviously, the Packers have a lot of injuries going into this one. We'll be talking about that. Ty Montgomery, what to do with the running back situation if Montgomery doesn't play. We'll also be talking about both offenses and defenses, how they match up while they face each other. Can the Packers stop that Dallas Cowboys run offense? Can the Cowboys stop Aaron Rodgers and his passing attack in this one? So lots and lots to talk about, and we'll be doing that in a little moment. After I talk with Ryan, I'll take a few moments to recap what we discussed and use some of the RotoViz apps. And via Twitter, I got a suggestion to use the GLSP or the Gillespie apps from RotoViz this week to look into it. Look at what the apps are saying and give my opinion on what I think, whether it's a high likelihood or a low likelihood of this happening. So lots and lots of good info coming up on that shortly after I talk with Ryan. But on this past week, after the last show, which we previewed the Titans and the Texans, I got a suggestion in to use some of the GLSP apps on RotoViz to break down this game from a fantasy football perspective. So for those of you who don't already know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can visit all the apps and get all the information on it by going to rotoviz.com. I mentioned a moment ago that I am a Green Bay Packers fan, so obviously this game has a little added interest for me. I'll be rooting on, obviously, the fantasy players that I have on both lineups, but I'll also be rooting on for the Packers to go to 4-1 on this season. Another way I'll be rooting them on is by putting a little bit of a wager on with MyBookie, and I mentioned at the top of the show, MyBookie are sponsoring the podcast. They're also the sportsbook that I place all my wagers with for the NFL season. I have done over the last couple of years, and I really trust them with my money, and that's something that's very, very key with any sports book. You can find them online at mybookie.ag. They have everything you need: fast payouts, in-game live betting, and an all-new mobile site that is pretty impressive. Runs very, very smoothly. Get those live bets in and on the action. Live betting is one of my favorite parts of sports betting on a weekly basis, and they have some fantastic rewarding player perks. And I've mentioned in the last few shows that if you sign up and to them, make your first deposit, they will match that deposit with up to a 100% bonus. But not only that, for this next couple of weeks, they're also adding an opportunity for you. You get that 100% sign-up bonus, but you'll also get a $25 chip to use at their casino on the website as well. So you're getting $25 extra free of charge to go in there and have some fun in the casino. And I've spent my chip. I did get it up, headed up around $100, but unfortunately for me, I stayed a little bit too long and it's all gone. But it was a lot of fun. There's lots of great games there to play in the casino, so do check that out. And use the promo code ROTOBEAT while signing up, and that gives you that 100% bonus on your sign up for your first deposit, as well as that $25 chip. So that promo code is ROTOBEAT. And this, as well as the last week, I've been mentioning in the last couple of weeks, the sweet RotoViz pullover, the athletic pullover competition we've been running for people who do sign up to MyBookie using that promo code. Just email over to rotovizradio@gmail.com with that confirmation email from MyBookie, and you'll be entered in to a drawing that's coming up in the next week or so. This is the final week prior to week 5. I think up until that Sunday night football game kicks off is your final opportunity to get involved. So make some money week 5, get that 100% bonus, and get that $25 chip, and then send that confirmation email over to rotovizradio@gmail.com. That awesome RotoViz limited edition merchandise that you could win. They're being sent out, as I mentioned on the previous shows, to all the RotoViz writers and podcasters, and I'm really looking forward. Mine's, because I'm here in Ireland, takes just a little bit longer to get to me, and once it does arrive, I'll be adding it to my kind of rotation of everyday wear, as it looks absolutely awesome. For this game, the Cowboys are 2-point favourites heading in. The money line is -130 in their favour. It is +110 to the Packers. There's a 52-point over-under. I'm leaning for the Packers, obviously, the head and the heart ruling on this one. I just think that there's a lot of opportunities for the Packers to exploit, which we'll be talking about, and it'll be interesting to see if Ryan does agree with what I think is going to happen in this game. So let's get him on. Let's start talking and previewing the game right now. Delighted to be joined now on the show by Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. We're going to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys game this weekend with the Green Bay Packers. And obviously, as a Packers fan, this one's going to be one that I'm really looking forward to talking about. But Ryan, thanks for jumping aboard the show.
Absolutely, no problem.
This week, obviously, the Packers are heading to Jerry World, the place where it has been pretty good to them over the last couple of years. They beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl there, won a surprise game with Matt Flynn, and recently won last year in the playoffs. And looking back, firstly, to last week's game, though, as we look back to Thursday Night Football, for myself, the biggest takeaway in that one was the injuries to the roster, Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery being the biggest of those. Looking back to that Thursday Night Football victory against the Bears, what was the biggest takeaway for you from the game?
Well, they found a way to win when it was clearly very difficult for any team to win under the circumstances they played with. I mean, they had their left guard starting at left tackle because David Bakhtiari missed his third straight game. That's kind of been the story of the season. They're 3-1 here, and they've been able to prevent some pretty dire injury circumstances, losing both starting tackles, losing the best defensive player, Mike Daniels, from sinking them early in the season. I think that there's a chance that 2 months from now, they can look back at this first month, and it's really a strong foundation to build off of, not just because of 3-1, but things could have been a whole lot worse. I think the Bears game is a great example of that with Lane Taylor. He'd never played tackle in his life. He said for him to have to, on a whim, on a short week, a Thursday night game, come out and play left tackle against a very good Bears front, he held up better than anyone could have imagined. And Justin McCray played pretty well on the right side, especially considering that he's a guard and he's played well at right tackle for a couple games this season when Brian Bulaga has been unable to play. So just finding a way to win football games when there's no excuses in the NFL, but if you're playing without your two tackles, you're pretty close to having a good one. So they've been able to go 3-1 and not be sunk by those injuries.
Yeah, and you know, they obviously, as I mentioned, played in Thursday Night Football, so they got that kind of mini bye week after it. But with all the injuries, and you kind of touched on them there, just a few of them, they really did need those extra few days off. I'm going to go through the injury report now, and obviously this has been recorded Friday, so there's little updates to this. My final report that I have down here is from Thursday, but I've added in some notes as I've seen you've been tweeting out over the last kind of 30 minutes to an hour with some additional news. Devontae Adams, obviously, in the concussion protocol, he got an absolutely violent hit against the Bears, and at the time, in my opinion, there was no way that he would be back this soon. But there is a possibility that if he can make the plane trip tomorrow, that he will, if he clears the concussion protocol rather before that, that he will be available. David Bakhtiari, that you mentioned, at tackle, has a hamstring issue. He was a limited participant all week. And then Ahmad Brooks, linebacker, back, limited all week. Brian Bulaga, tackle, ankle, limited all week. Mike Daniels, defensive tackle, somebody who has had a really nice start the first 2 weeks of the season, has had injury issues, obviously, to go without that. His hip issue, limited as well. And then Joe Thomas did not participate all week. And then Ty Montgomery, obviously, with the rib issue, limited again. With all those guys, there's a lot to go through. But out of those, who do you expect to suit up on Sunday, and who do you expect to be sitting this one out?
Well, it sure seems like they're going to get their tackles back, David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga. And Mike Daniels made it clear today, speaking in the locker room, that he is going to play against the Cowboys. It'll be his first time playing since very early week two when he left the field with a hip injury against the Falcons. Now, I would have thought that David Bakhtiari is going to play against the Bears, so they look like they're on the right trajectory. Both him and Brian Bulaga have practiced this week. But you never know, obviously, until the 90 minutes before kickoff when the inactive list comes out. But I would expect both of them to be on the field. I spoke with a source earlier this week that said he couldn't see Devontae Adams not playing, which would have seemed impossible when you saw that hit that he took from Danny Trevathan. You would have thought that if he was able to get back by the bye week at the end of this month, that would have been a mini miracle. For him to be on the field, you know, he still hasn't cleared concussion protocol, and he does have, and Mike McCarthy said, until the plane leaves for Dallas tomorrow to clear the protocol. But I would expect, you know, he practiced all through the week. I would suspect that he probably is on the field, that he does clear protocol, and that he is on the field against the Cowboys. So that's obviously, it's pretty miraculous. You wouldn't have thought that was possible. Now, as far as Ty Montgomery, he's going to be playing on 10 days rest with broken ribs, multiple broken ribs in his left side. He's been adamant that he plans to play. It really comes down to a pain threshold, and it's just hard for me even if he does play, it's hard for me to see him being all that effective. It's not, you know, Jordy Nelson as a receiver played with broken ribs on 2 weeks rest in the NFC Championship game in January. But as a receiver, you're on the outside of the field. You're not getting hit every play. Running back is unique to that. Even when you're not touching the football as a running back, you're probably blocking. So every play he's on the field, there's going to be some contact. It's going to be one of those where it's going to be up to him. But if he's not on the field Sunday, it wouldn't surprise me. Just because 10 days with the broken ribs, it's not a lot of time to give those the rest and heal. If he is, I would think that they're not going to play him some 90% of the snaps like he has in the first three games of the year.
Yeah, and we'll get to the running backs in a moment that will take his place if he doesn't play. But you mentioned Jordy there. Obviously, it was the NFC Championship, so rather than a Week 5 game, and you obviously mentioned as well the difference in the positional impacts to the player as well. So looking then at the Cowboys injury report, not as deep as the Packers, but some key ones to note. Sean Lee, linebacker, did not participate this week with a hamstring injury. That would be a key miss for them. Stephen Pye, defensive tackle, has missed out as well. And then Tyron Smith and Charles Tapper was put on the injured reserve for them this week at defensive end. So looking then to the game, obviously we mentioned there Mike Daniels. You said that he is going to suit up this weekend, who is key in the run game. If you slow down this Dallas run game, I think the entire offense starts to struggle for them. We've kind of seen that over the last couple of weeks. If you can kind of try and slow down Zeke Elliott and the run game a little bit, they can have some issues. It's all based pretty much for them on dominating on the ground. But the Packers defense has looked good many times this offseason, and we hear obviously about the Cowboys O-line being one of the best in the NFL. But so far there's some issues. They've been moving some pieces around on the offensive line. Just hasn't been what it was over the last couple of seasons. Do you still view them as one of the top offensive lines in the league, and do you expect Clay Matthews and Mike Daniels and so on to be able to give them issues this week early and often?
I think the Cowboys still have one of the top offensive lines in the league. Now, I'm not sure that they are undisputed the top offensive line in the league like they were last year. They were the best offensive line in football by a significant margin. Maybe only the Oakland Raiders are really in that class. They've got some moving parts there. Doug Free retired at right tackle. Ronald Leary signed with the Denver Broncos, a nice four-year, $35 million deal. They replaced Ronald Leary at left guard with Chaz Green, who is really a tackle by trade. So he's playing a little bit out of position now. It's a lot easier, obviously, for tackles to play down inside as guards than it is the other way around. But still, he's better suited at tackle. Lyle Collins, who was the starting left guard before going on IR last year and having Ronald Leary replace him, has gone out to replace Doug Free at right tackle. So those are two moving parts. They still have the three all-pros at left tackle, center, and right guard. But, you know, both Chaz Green and Lyle Collins are good players, but they're not as consistent as the guys that they had in those spots before. So I think there's a small hit there that the offensive line has taken in Dallas. But it's not something where they've gone from best to worst or anything like that. It's still one of the best lines in the league, and it's going to be a real test for this Packers defensive front that has played well. You know, they played almost exclusively base defense in their 3-4 against the Chicago Bears. Three defensive linemen on the field did very well against Jordan Howard, holding him to 53 yards a week after he had gone for 140 in a win against the Steelers. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two fronts match up.
Yeah, and we talked earlier a little bit about Ty Montgomery and if he'll suit up. So let's just look at the idea if he doesn't suit up, you know, going into this one, if he does sit out. Looking at it with the running back options, Aaron Jones obviously there is somebody who I was expecting to have a heavy dose of workload this week. Then Jamal Williams has been a full participant in practice. So obviously the two of those I think are going to split carries this week. What way do you see it shaking out if Ty doesn't go? For me, with Montgomery as well, it feels a little bit like the Packers are just don't want the Cowboys to be able to just plan for him being out. It feels like one of those situations where they're just trying to play it along all week that he's going to play and then eventually sits out.
Yeah, certainly possible. You know, what's interesting is that it's come from Ty Montgomery, and he's gone very bluntly and said that he's preparing to play. You don't always see that player kind of co-signing with what the team is saying. But again, because of the nature of the ribs, it would be a small surprise for me if he was on the field. I think they found a little something with Aaron Jones, their rookie running back. Went for 49 yards on 13 carries against the Bears. And of their rookie trio in the backfield, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Devontae Mays, I think Aaron Jones has shown that he's the best runner of the three right now, at least. Jamal Williams played ahead of Aaron Jones primarily because he's much better in pass pro. But they've got to get some production on the ground. So I think that Aaron Jones is going to get a good crack at carries this week. That's not to say he's going to go out there and have 20 to 25, but I think you're going to see him have some role in the running game. And certainly if Ty Montgomery's not on the field, I would expect that role to be even greater.
Last week, the Cowboys lost at home to the Rams 35-30, and Jared Goff pretty much tore through the Cowboys' defense. So obviously, this looks like it's going to be a good matchup for Aaron Rodgers. How do you expect this one to break down between the Cowboys' defense and obviously Aaron Rodgers and his passing options?
Well, let's be honest about the Cowboys' defense. They had a lot of warts last year that were masked by a dominant ball control offense. And when you look at the Cowboys' offense at the quarter pole of the season, four games in, they're not top 10 in yards or points in the league. It's not been the dominant offense they had last year, and you've seen those warts on the defensive side reveal themselves. You're absolutely right. Jared Goff and the Rams posted 35 points on inside Jerry World. They're not going against Jared Goff this week. Going against Aaron Rodgers is a totally different challenge in and of itself. One of the things about what the Rams did that last week is the fact that they had seven field goals. So they moved the ball a lot. They didn't knock those drives into the end zone consistently. I would expect with Aaron Rodgers a much greater likelihood that those drives end in touchdowns.
Yeah, I'd expect them to be a lot more efficient this week with Rodgers. And you mentioned seven field goals. If you punch one or two of those in, even one or two of them in for touchdowns, you're up nearly at 50 points. So I think the Cowboys should move the ball, or the Packers rather, should move the ball very well this week. A player that on that offense I was expecting a key role for early in the season was Martellus Bennett. He's had some inconsistent usage and then inconsistent with his hands and so on when it has come to have that opportunity. They did work him in quite a bit last week, some short passes maybe to try and get his rapport with Rodgers going. What are your thoughts on Marty B so far in Green Bay?
I think it takes a while for tight ends to acclimate to offenses. Let's not forget that a year ago, Jared Cook did not come into this offense and light the world on fire. I mean, it took some time. In fact, he didn't do much through his first 3 weeks. He got hurt in week three against the Lions last year, missed 6 weeks. And it wasn't until he came back in November, late November in Washington, that he started. He had a 100-yard game in Washington, his first game back, and then it seemed like he'd really found a role in that offense. I think it takes some time, especially at that position. I'm not surprised that Martellus hasn't come in and had 100-yard games each week. I think by the end of the year, you're going to see much more clearly what his role is in this offense. You'll see more production, I think. One month into the season, the fact that he hasn't had big numbers, it's not that surprising. 2 months from now, if it's the same way, I would be surprised at that point.
Yeah, and obviously I mentioned as well with the mini bye week after Thursday Night Football. Do you think that's going to give? I think it definitely gives. We mentioned the injury report. Obviously, it gives the Packers a little bit of an advantage traveling down to Dallas this week.
Yes, there's no doubt. Well, especially with the injury situation, having three off days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, before getting back on the practice field, I think is. And it certainly helps set up the week. And what I mean by that is that we've seen most of those key players play and participate in practice much more than they had in the past. Everyone always says from the preparation standpoint, being able to sit down and watch your opponent, and the Packers are able to watch that Rams game live, that helps. But just from an injury standpoint, I think more than anything is where it really has been beneficial.
Yeah, and I would fear to think what this team injury report would be looking like if they didn't have those extra few days. So thank goodness they played on Thursday rather than Sunday this past week. Just before we get into the prediction of the result, is there any other areas maybe that we haven't touched on that you expect to be key to deciding the game? Maybe the Packers' pass defense against Dez Bryant, Jason Witten and co, or any other little bits or pieces that we may have missed out on?
Yeah, it'd be interesting how Kevin King does faring against Dez Bryant. I expect he'll get most of the assignment to cover Dez Bryant. He's gotten a real welcome to the NFL going against Julio Jones and AJ Green already. Gave up 100 yards to AJ Green against the Bengals, but When you look at it, really, a rookie corner going against A.J. Green, things could be a lot worse than, I think, the 111 yards that he caught on him. So he's a confident guy, and he's fared well for himself, all things considered. It'll be interesting to see how he does, especially on the road going against Dez Bryant.
Yeah, tough start to as a rookie, but hopefully we'll see him be able to do some nice things against Dez this weekend. So obviously as we get into our prediction, I think it's always tough to win on the road in the NFL. The Cowboys are coming off that home loss to the Rams. They really do need this one now, sitting at 2-2. The Packers are 3-1, however, at this moment in time, even with the injuries the Packers have to the roster, I still think... they win more key matchups than this and get the win on the road. You touched on it when you said about the 7 field goals for the Rams and they still managed to put up 35 points. I just think there's no way Aaron Rodgers can't put up a lot of points on this Cowboys team. So I see it probably ending up a little bit closer with the Cowboys fighting back into towards the end, but I think the Packers win this one going away.
Yeah, I've got them winning 31-27. I think, it's going to be a close game for sure, and a lot is going to ride on how that the Packers defense stops the run, because that sets up everything for Dallas. If they run the football, then all of a sudden the staple of their pass game, the play action, is in the works. And when they're doing that, when they're clicking on all cylinders, it is still one of the most talented offenses in the league. But I think Aaron Rodgers against that defense, it's just going to be a lot of challenge that they have stopping Rodgers. So I've got a close game. I think that at the end, Aaron Rodgers finds a way to make one more play, much like he did in January with that pass to Jared Cook, and they leave Dallas 4-1.
Yeah, and going into this in games past, you feared for the Packers defense, facing a runner like Zeke Elliott. But the way this defense is set up this year, and especially getting Mike Daniels back, I think that's going to be another key to this one. So thanks a lot, Ryan, for jumping aboard the podcast. For the listeners, you can follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. And it's been a pleasure having you on. Hopefully the Packers get the result they're looking for this weekend.
All right. Take care.
That was Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. A lot of interest and thoughts, and in a moment I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into those using those apps on rotoviz.com. The season is here, we are into week 5, but your season, your fantasy season, depending on how it's going, you could be running away with it, or you might need that little bit of extra help to help make that playoff push as the season progresses here. It is a fantastic time to sign up for a Rotoviz NFL pass. You can get it right now for 30% off. This discount is for listeners of the podcast only and is available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. Again, you can get that 30% discount for an NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. So I'm going to get into it now using, as I mentioned, the GLSP or the Gillespie apps, one of my favorite apps on the site. It was something that was tweeted to me maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and I was thinking of what apps to dive into the game and look into it. So if you have a suggestion for next week's show as we look into week 6, do hit me up on Twitter with that suggestion. I'll try and fit that app in if it makes sense to do so in next week's episode. That is at Overtime Ireland on Twitter. A little bit of added news over the last week or so. Some of you may not know, some of you may know that I am the assistant executive producer to Matt Freeman for all the stuff that we've got going on here at Rotoviz Radio, all the podcast channel. And over the last couple of weeks, something we've been working on is getting all the feeds and all the shows up on their individual feeds on iTunes. So over the last week to kind of maybe 2 weeks, we've been adjusting that their schedule over. Now I'm pleased to say that all the shows are up on their individual feeds on iTunes. And if you want to just get this here show each and every week, you can search obviously for Fantasy Football Beat, or else you can search as well for Rotoviz Fantasy Football Show. So you can do both of those and they'll come up, and as well obviously make sure you're subscribed to the overall Rotoviz radio feed. Just search Rotoviz for that and get involved with all the awesome podcasts we've got going on here on the channel. Obviously give us a nice little 5-star rating and a review. Mention the Fantasy Beat podcast while you're at it. Much appreciated, and thank you again for all the great support and feedback over the first 4 weeks of the show as it's kind of debuted. It's been something that we had thought about doing over the last couple of seasons, but this is the first year we really got involved, and I'm delighted to be a part of it. So thank you once again for all that feedback. Let's jump into the games where I talked about using the GLSP or the Gillespie apps on rotoviz.com. So I've jumped onto those, looking them up now here, and I have up first, I'm going to run through the Dallas Cowboys. I have up first Dak Prescott. I think, Dak has been this season so far a low-end quarterback one. He has benefited from the great running back in Ezekiel Elliott to set up a play action pass, but it just hasn't worked as well this season so far for Elliott. So looking with Dak, the Packers defense has been a top 10 defense this season against fantasy quarterbacks. That's something that you wouldn't probably, if you're not a Packers fan, wouldn't expect to hear. You often associate the Packers with great offense and lackluster defense, but as I mentioned there a few times as we talked with Ryan, the run defense in particular has really stepped up, and they've been scheming quite well to cover up any other issues they have in that secondary. So I think he'll still be a quarterback one, but a low-end quarterback one to a high-end quarterback two this week. If you have better options, I would be starting. I think if you're looking at what you're doing, and we're going to do this here based on 4-point passing touchdowns, looking at a low range of 15, and then the median here is coming up as a 19.3, high at 22.2. I think I would adjust those all a little bit. I think the high end for Dak this week, and I own Dak in a few leagues, so I'm going to be sitting him, and he is at a high end of, for me, I would have him just in around the 20 range. I'd be adjusting these all down by 2. So Dak for me this week isn't a player that I'm going to be starting. A player that I think if you drafted him in that first round very early, probably in the first 3 picks, unless it was after the suspension issues had come out and been prevalent, if you drafted him earlier this offseason, you would have drafted Zeke Elliott in those first 3 picks of any draft if you were doing a best ball, or if you were doing it in maybe early redraft leagues. I don't know why you'd be redrafting that early, but if you were doing so, Ezekiel Elliott was a very, very high pick this year at that point in time. Even if you got him as late as the late second after that suspension news, he only has one game over 100 yards this season. He has gotten 20 plus carries in 3 of his 4 starts, so that is, he's getting the usage, but the Packers have a lower points against rush defense than any team the Cowboys have played yet so far. But you know, when you're going into it, Ezekiel Elliott, you are starting him. There's no options about that. Looking at his projected point totals this week, going to take these at half PPR, because that means then you can adjust them, whether it is standard or PPR, you can adjust them slightly in between. I'm giving you the middle option. So looking at it, the low is 12.8, the median is 14.8, and then the high is 22.2. So the low and the median very, very similar, and then the high jumping all the way up there to 22.2. You could see him getting in the end zone this week. I think he's going to get that usage again, and you know, he's getting that bell cow role, he's catching a few passes as well. But I think it's going to take a huge, huge day, you know, way, way by far his best day of the season to hit that 22.2. So I have him in around that median. I think that's a fair margin to have him in around the 13 to 15 point range I have him slotted in for this week. Wide receiver-wise, you're looking at Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley for the Dallas Cowboys. Hasn't been the way Cole would have liked it so far this season. He is not startable. He was a player that I was touting this offseason. He has just 11 catches in 4 games. So Beasley turned those into just 86 yards and no touchdowns. So he is unstartable at this point in time. Dez Bryant, on the other hand, had a big game last week against the Rams. After 11 catches for 115 yards through 3 games, he erupted with 5 for 98. So he's still only at the 98 yards and 5 catches, but it's still he's starting to move in the right direction, and that rapport is getting a little bit nicer there with Dak. But I mentioned with Dak, I'm not projecting him to be all that high this week. Dez will, in my opinion, get his this week, but I still think he's probably going to be finishing as a kind of wide receiver too in this contest. So it's one that, just looking at the projections again, at the half point PPR level, his low is 6.7, his median is 12.2, and his high is 14.3. I'd probably have that high touched a little bit higher if I was expecting him to get it, but I don't. I find he's going to be in around that median range, probably finishing in around 12 to 13 points for the week. There is that touchdown upside there as well for Dez, but I think the Cowboys, you know, there is always opportunity. I do expect this to be high scoring with the Packers pushing ahead with getting those opportunities against this defense. We'll be talking about that in a moment, but Dez for me is kind of a wide receiver two this week. But again, I think you're probably not going to have a lot more better options on your fantasy roster this week, especially with the bye weeks. Tight end Jason Witten has 28 targets and caught 19 of them so far this season for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you have him, you start him. It's as simple as that. There's been a couple of games this season where he hasn't got pretty much any targets or any catches, so it's been a few games there where it has been tough after starting it so far. But another interesting stat about this Packers defense is that they've given up the fewest points to opposing tight ends this season in fantasy, but I expect Jason Witten to get his this week. Looking at his projections in the half-point PPR, I think they're a little bit low this week on the GLSP projections. You have him Low is 2.4, median 3.8, and the high is 5.7 for me. This week, Witten's floor is that high mark of 5.7. I would have him, probably for me, I have him down here in the range from, I'm projecting him in my teams that I'm starting him in around the 9 to 10 points for this game. And obviously with the tight end position, if you can get yourself a touchdown, it's all good at the tight end position for that week. So I'm starting Jason Witten. The GLSP app would be telling you maybe to proceed with a little bit of caution. Moving on to the Packers now, we're looking at Aaron Rodgers. We touched on it there. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to light things up this week. I think there's going to be a lot of touchdowns to go around with Rodgers and the way he's going to play. I expect him to be very, very efficient, move the chains efficiently, and I do think that, you know, I have him down here, 27 is my minimum points that I expect the Packers to score this week, probably penciled in for 35. So it's going to be an interesting one to see how the Cowboys can attempt to stop him. He is a top two quarterback heading into the week. The Cowboys are one of the bottom 10 teams in terms of giving up fantasy points to quarterbacks. So I think we all seen what Jared Goff done last week. Rodgers should have another great game here. I don't think we need the GLSP apps to tell us that, but going to look at it. And 4 point passing touchdowns, 20.4 is his low, 25.6 is his high. So I think there's a safe floor, and the ceiling it can be much, much higher than that 25.6 as well. As I mentioned, you know, he can have a real, real big day in this one. Problem with the Packers this week is at the running back position and the wide receiver position. Obviously, Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery expected to, you know, be very late or game time decisions for this one. I'm going to project this with leaving the two of those out and expecting them to miss this week. I think there's more chance of Adams playing, and, you know, I mentioned earlier after that shocking hit last week, I didn't think that he would be fit to play coming up here just 10 days later. So I'm going to go with projecting Ty Montgomery to sit out and then basically Devontae Adams to play on a limited basis this week. So with that, Aaron Jones, expect him to come in and get the workload, but I mentioned earlier Jamal Williams will also be sprinkled in there as well. So it's going to be a split backfield. I was hoping this week, not hoping, but I thought that there was a possibility that Jamal Williams would miss this game through injury, but he has practiced fully over the last couple of days, so he will be in there as well. Aaron Jones would have been much, much higher on my board this week if that was the case. So He is somebody who you kind of, if you're really stuck, you own Ty Montgomery and Montgomery doesn't start, you slot him in. He's my preferred option off those two running backs. If you're playing half point PPR, it is kind of a very low outlook for him. 2.5 points is the low, 4.4 the median, and 7.3 is the high. And if Montgomery sits out and he does get, you know, even a half the workload, I expect him to hit that median. But, you know, if you're starting this week and the high option is 7.3, you're basically relying on him to get into the end zone on top of that to be productive this week for you. So it is a tough one with Aaron Jones, especially with Jamal Williams suiting up as well, and with Ty Montgomery could possibly be sprinkled into the mix. It's just something that you kind of have to stay away from this week to get a little bit of clarity on it. Looking at the Packers tight end, you're obviously looking at Martellus Bennett. Bennett is the one getting the most targets out of him and Kendricks. I think, you know, I mentioned there, they're trying to get Bennett going, and I think he will get going as the season goes along. He is very, very startable. Same as I mentioned with Witten, if you have him, the way the tight end position is this season, you are starting him. Obviously, the touchdown upside is there. The targets and opportunities are there. So I think eventually those are going to turn into points. Looking at the app, we're looking at it here. The low for him in half point PPR is 6. The median is 8.7. And the high is 11.9. I think the median is a fair value there. I think he's going to be somewhere between the median and the high. But if he can get in that end zone, there's no doubt about it for me that he can project himself into the tight end one conversation at the end of this week's standings. I think, you know, you're looking at the high is 11.9. If he gets in the end zone, I think you'll see him finish with around 13 points. So that is something that I'm very bullish on this week. Martellus Bennett is in a lot of my lineups as they head into Dallas this weekend. And he's somebody that in my daily fantasy lineups and my draft lineups that I am slotting in there, trying to pick up and get him into as many lineups as I can. I mentioned draft there, and obviously it's something that I've been enjoying over the last couple of weeks. Download the app anytime, just search draft in your app store, play a game in minutes, or play right in your computer from playdraft.com. The mobile app is very handy, but I've enjoyed playing it on the playdraft.com website over the last couple of weeks as well. Handy when you're trying to do some podcast work or things like this here, trying to set up your fantasy teams. You can also just have that tab open in the background, and drafts happen every couple of minutes, so it's very, very simple. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but use my promo code RVRadio. No salary caps, playing real life snake drafts. Just play with your friends, or you can play with a large group of people. You can do it pretty much anyway. Any kind of league you want to start up, from 3 players to 4 players, all the way up to 12. You can just really do whatever you want. Set up those leagues and have fun over the weekend. There's no trades, no waiver wire, just 1 week game. Pretty much DFS and redraft mixed together for 1 week of fun. Drafts start from as little as $1. So get over there and make sure to get drafting, and that code again is RV Radio when you put in your first deposit. Rishard Matthews was my pick last week as my star player for the draft app, but he had a nice game, but obviously Marcus Mariota got injured, so that limited his options there. We had the week before that, Rishard Matthews against the Seahawks, and then the week prior to that, Chris Hogan against the Saints. So we've been on a nice little streak here with my draft players over the last couple of weeks, and this week my player is Martellus Bennett, as I mentioned there. So moving on to the wide receiver position now for the Packers. Obviously, I mentioned earlier with Davante Adams and his concussion issues. We'll see if he does suit up for this one. But at the moment, I'm just going to put him in as that he's going to be limited for the game. So I'm not going to have him down getting the normal target share that he would on a weekly basis. Hopefully also the Packers will be getting Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari back for this one. That should help the offensive line as well. Nelson has shown that he's pretty much matchup proof. He's getting in the end zone on such a regular basis. Cobb looks like he's just going to be a nice piece in the quick passing game. They're trying to get it to him nice and sharp, see what he can do after the catch. And then if Adams sits out, Geronimo Allison should step in for him, and we'll see what happens. So it's pretty much a case of it's very hard to play Adams this week. I'm sitting him in any leagues that I own him. Geronimo Allison, and then obviously you have to wait to see what happens with Adams. If you are stuck, you need a spot start, you can slot Geronimo Allison in there. Looking at Jordy Nelson, his projections, half point PPR, his low projections 8.9, his median is 10.9, and his high is 15.9. Pretty much what that means is you are starting him no matter what the situation. You don't need me to tell you to start him against this Cowboys secondary. You're starting Jordy Nelson. Get him in your lineup. The other player that I'm adding to my lineups this week is Randall Cobb. He had a nice week for me last week. You know, he's somebody who probably even this offseason people thought mightn't get back to where he was, but he's starting to look like he could be back to close to what his best was two or three seasons ago. He's had a lot of injury issues, so we'll see as it goes forward here. Obviously injured his shoulder 2 weeks ago against the Falcons, but it looked very spry on Thursday Night Football against the Bears. His half-point PPR standings on the GLSP app this week are his low is 3.6, median 7.7, and his high is 10.8. And I think you're looking at a safe floor, particularly you know, with those passing opportunities this week. He's going to get those targets, going to get those receptions, so that's going to boost that up too. And if he gets in the end zone, you are having a very nice day, because I expect this Packers offense to put up a lot of points this week. So both those are starts for me. I expect Jordy Nelson to finish as a wide receiver one, and I expect Randall Cobb to finish in that high wide receiver three, low-end wide receiver two conversation at the end of the week standing. So pretty much run through them all there using the GLSP app on rotoviz.com. Hopefully that was a helpful little bit of information that I was able to provide you with after talking with Ryan Wood, trying to break it down a little bit more. Again, that suggestion came in on Twitter, so if you have any apps you want to hear me break down the game with next week for week six, send them my way at Overtime Ireland. So that's going to do it for the Week 5 edition of the Fantasy Football Beat. Thanks once again to Ryan Wood for jumping aboard the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, as I mentioned, at @ByRyanWood. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Overtime Ireland. So until I'm back for Week 6 with another edition of the Fantasy Football Beat, enjoy Week 5. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Make sure you're subscribed. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.